do you guys notice that I'm not dressed the normal way that I would dress to preach? I don't have my preaching clothes on. So, for some people, when we come to church, we have expectations, right? Suit, tie, nice shoes, clean speech. Pastor Ray hired an unorthodox pastor, and I don't know why I'm even still here, but boy, the good Lord has mercy and he has humor. And so today I'm going to talk a little bit about expectation, and I dressed intentionally like this because there are people that would be absolutely outraged to have somebody like me, have somebody dressed like this up at the pulpit to give a word. And so Ben is outraged, he said, so Ben, in good confidence, build a bridge, get over it. You'll be fine. So, expectations. And there's a difference between faith and expectation. We live in a world filled with expectations, right? We go to work, we expect that we'll have a job when we get there, right? We expect that the boss will pay us at the end of the week. We expect that Pastor Ray is going to be a pastor here for the next 50 years. No, just kidding. that's not a fair expectation to you, PR. I got to be honest. So expectations and the difference between them and faith can really position us in some troublesome places in our world. Expectation is defined as a strong belief in something will happen or be the case in the future. How many of us have expectations when we're dealing with situations and we've already gone through the big story in our head and we're there, we're ready to do our argument, we're ready to do our battle, we are all fired up inside because we know what's going to go on. That's an expectation. And how many times do we involve or get involved in those situations? Does a situation turn out to be not nearly as bad as we made it to be in our head? All the time, right? I can remember driving to a job conference that I had to go to. My boss wanted me there at the time, and I was going through the head. I'm going to get fired. I went through the whole line of things that were going to happen. Do you know what it was? He's like, hey, you're doing a good job. We wanted to give you a raise. I never thought that. I was thinking of all the bad. So typically our expectations fall in our past experiences, and they look at the negative side. We also have expectations of what a person should, a belief that someone will or should achieve something. You know, we expect our government to take care of us. We expect leadership to be leaders. We expect the person that's driving in front of us not to brake check when we're doing 80 miles an hour. I mean, there's some things that we can expect in life. But relationships can be difficult. And I want to talk about a very, very personal relationship with someone that's very close to me. Go ahead. Nugget. Meet Nugget. Nugget is a dear friend of mine. He is my dog. He will never leave my feet. If I am home, he's on my feet. He's on my lap. He's in my face. He's always with me. But he's filled with doggy expectations. Dogs can be like people sometimes, or people can be like dogs sometimes. Do y'all know that? That we really can be. So Nugget has expectations that developed 2 years ago when we started a relationship. We purchased Nugget. He came home with us. Can you go to the next slide? 2 years later, Nugget still has expectations. And those expectations are basically, I want to be fed, right? Come to a youth group, they always want to be fed. The youth always want to play games. Nugget always wants to play games, right? He wants lap time. We do not give the youth lap time because that's just awkward. But we do give him play time. Nugget wants to hunt. Nugget wants to walk. Nugget wants to be part of our life and always wants to be around us. And I'm using Nugget as an example because there are times when Nugget has expectations that do not get met, just like we have expectations that do not get met. You can go to the next slide. See, expectations alone is our desire or our understanding in a situation that is filtered through our life experiences. How many conversations, how many people do you know that you go into that situation fully expecting what's going to happen? We make fun of Nugget, but the reality is we all do it. We filter everything through what has happened to us in our lives. And when we step into those expectations fail us. Sometimes those expectations tell us that the words that people spoke over us are true. Anybody here ever fail? Fail all the time, folks. We all do. But one failure and the words that have been spoken get reinforced, and that becomes our identity. We can sometimes live in the expectations that people have had for us rather than the things that God has for us. Go back. Sometimes we have regrets. Anyone ever do something that they're very sorry or wish they'd never done? All of us, at least to a certain extent. We should all have those. And many times our expectations do just solely focus on our feelings and our emotions, which is not a bad thing. But how do we take those emotions and feelings? And how do we use them to move forward in life rather than staying where we're at? The truth is, you can go to the next slide now. The truth is, expecting something to happen will not make it happen. Many times, we spend hours and hours and hours of anxiety and stress and fear and anguish focusing on what we believe reality is going to be. But we don't know that answer. When that happens, what do we do? See, psychologist Jean Paget noted that kids, young kids, had a reality that they had a difficulty understanding the difference between the subjective world and the outer world. And so in their world, they believed that the expectations that they had would actually cause people to be hurt. How would that look? What would that look like? If you're brothers or sisters and your brother makes you mad and you get really angry and all that emotion comes bubbling out of you and you look at your brother and I wish you would die or I wish you'd get hit by a car or I wish something bad would happen to you and then something bad happens to them, then that child would then internalize it as their fault. That expectation not only became an emotional thing, but became a reality to them. And that is a tough place to live, folks. But the truth is, whatever your expectation is, it cannot be projected on people. It is not the cause of their situation or their faults, unless you had a direct part of that happening. Humans have a natural tendency, to pin their hopes for happiness and fulfillment on expectations. You guys know that? Materialism is one of our big things. Do you know, on average, every household in America has $16,000 in credit card debt? Because we believe in the materialism of the United States. $16,000, that's a lot of money. My God, it was almost more than some of the houses when you guys bought them. It's just a lot of money. I don't know. Our house was pretty cheap when we bought it. So Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe your expectation is that if I can do drugs, or I can stay drunk, or I can stay high, or I can stay focused on other things, then I don't have to feel the feelings that I'm going through in my life. Or I don't have to deal with the people that have been bad in my life. I don't have to deal with the hurt in my life. Maybe it's you want to become the center of attention so that you don't have to worry about having low self-esteem, that when you're the center of attention and everybody is focused on you, you can feel good about yourself. That can be. And other situations that can arise out of fulfilled expectations, or pinning our hopes on fulfilled expectation, is controlling situations. People will control situations all around them so that they don't have to worry that they're going to get hurt. It fulfills them. It makes them whole. The development of false expectation is a problem we have in America. It is a problem we have in the church. There are times that we have prayed for people, days and days and hours, tears, agony, and nothing has changed. We pray with the expectation that something is going to happen, but sometimes things don't. The Lord has a different will. Many people will develop false expectations as a defense. Sometimes we live in our false expectations so that we can live vicarious through others. You know, in other words, we can live in others' drugs, alcohol, partying, whatever it is. I was on the ice yesterday. We were fishing a tournament, and I actually got to sit and listen to a guy bring out all of his false expectations about relationships and what he thought the woman should do. There's a reason he's 32 and not married. Straight up, that's what it is. When we compare our lives to other people, we can develop false expectations. We watch this online. We watch it with youth. We watch it in the media, right? If you wear this type of cologne, people will think this. If you wear these clothes, then you will be beautiful. If you wear this makeup, you will look perfect. We see these comparisons between our lives and the lives of others in our society today. But we also see it in the church. If I have just that gifting, I'll be good enough. If I can just speak in tongues, then God will love me and accept me. If I can, whatever it is that you want to fill in there for a ministry or a calling or a gifting, whatever it is. But the truth of the matter is, those things won't make you whole in Christ. Proverbs 11:7 says, "When a wicked man dies, his expectations will perish, and the hope of strong men perishes." The truth is, when we live in worldly expectations that are not based on foundations associated with Christ, associated with God, they perish. Your false expectations that you have on people perish. The false expectations you have on yourself will perish. See, false expectation is not faith. And I'm going to go back to Nugget real quickly. Nugget doesn't understand the difference between faith and expectation. He just lives in his little doggy emotional world where he's like, just feed me, just pet me, just love me. I love Nugget. But the matter is, expectations can only be combated through faith. Because faith is based on truth. At least biblical godly faith is based on truth. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. "Now faith is confident in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Faith is confidence in what we hope for. See, faith, that fundamental faith based on the truth and the realities of God, give us hope. Hope gives us life and everything around us. Faith is the base foundation for everything in your life. It really, truly is. As I was researching this message, I was absolutely astonished to look at how many postings were out there about, don't worry about hope, don't worry about faith, you don't need that, let that go. And it'll be less stressful for you, you can just go do whatever you want to do. I'm telling you, there are pages and pages and pages of people out there that have no hope, no faith. They only focus on themselves and their internal desires. And that is it. Blog after blog after blog. It blew my mind. I forgot the number off the top of my head, but I was like, what? See, faith is beyond our expectation. It is trusting God even when we don't understand the situation. Sometimes life does not make sense, folks. The folks out at Sarah's Heart. I mean, that's a great example. That's a great sermon illustration. We have a man that's dedicated 20 years, right? 20 years to opening a facility to bring girls that have been harmed to a place where he can mentor them and show them godly love with his wife. And he passes away. It doesn't make sense. But we have to have that hope that God gives us. Hope is the greatest gift that God has ever given mankind. Do you know that hope is dangerous? There are nations in the world, such as China, that never want the gospel to be brought there because it brings hope. And if people have hope, people will stand up and people will let their voices be heard. Hope is a key to our life. Hope, when we base it on biblical understanding, can be transformative to our lives. Has anybody else's life been transformed by the hope in Jesus Christ and what he's done through us? Transformation. You are not what you used to be. You are who you are now because God has done a work in you. God has done something in you that, to be flat out honest, most of us can't even understand. I struggle with, why would God even love me? He knows all the things I've done. Why does God even care about me? I'm just one person of how many billions of people on the planet? But the reality is, he does. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all, with unveiling face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are transformed in the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Transformation from where we were to where we are now. So, you guys, I kind of skipped something here. I'm just going to go back to it. Expectation is what we do in our own life, in our own world. Hope is confident expectation in trusting in what God's going to do. See, we battle this every day. Every day. That the hope that we have is based fundamentally on what God has done in our lives and what God wants to do in our life. We live in our false expectations. We live in our worldly expectations where we don't always understand, but we're going to act out of emotion. But when we allow ourselves to let the hope that Christ comes, it can change us. So it is transforming to us that we are no longer the person that we used to be. We are now the person that God is calling us to be, or at least we should be working that way. Hope in Christ and the hope in the things that God has tells us that we're important to God. Do we realize that? Can we accept that? Looks like I'm going to be the one dry today. Thank you. It's always a matter of time, right? Nah, it's all God's money. It's all good. We are important to God. Why are we important to God? Why does God care about us? Why does he even want to acknowledge us? Because he created you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. He has something more from you than the misery that we live in inside of our little head that's this big. This is the box of our world. This little box right here causes more trouble for us than we would like to imagine. Think about it. All conflict in the world really comes out of a box that's like 1 foot by 1 foot. Some of y'all might have 1.5 by 1.5, but we won't go out and measure people. Think about it. Everything that's going on in the world, all comes from here. It starts there. So we need to realize that we are important to God. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Not that we are saved by good works or anything like that, but he has things for us to do. Go do them. Seriously, folks. If you would have asked me 10, 15 years ago, are you ever going to be on a pulpit speaking? No. Are you going to be a pastor? No. But I'm obedient. When he calls, what do we say? See, I realize that I am important to God. I'm important to God because he has something for me. He created me. He wants me to go do things for him. Go do them. Experience life through hope in Christ. Experience life and hope through Christ. It is absolutely important that we do that. Many people never do. Many people just live their life and they'll have momentary happiness, they'll have momentary joy, but privately they live in misery because they don't accept this. They don't accept that you're important, that they're important to God. And we are. God also tells us that we have a future with promises, right? Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans that he has for us. Ultimately, what is the plan for all of humanity? John 3:16. The plan for all of humanity is to be with God in heaven. That none should perish. Right? That is the plan that God has for all of humanity. Let's not go into predestination. Sorry, any Baptists out there, but but the reality is God has for us promises in our life that tell us that we are to be with him in heaven, that we are to serve him, that there is more to our life than just the pain and the anguish and the hurt and the trials and the tribulations and the garbage that we go through on this planet. There is more to life than that. I have a real short video here. We're going to play. And This is a real short sermon. It's funny. I have more time to prepare, a shorter sermon, less time to prepare, longer sermon. How does that work? You guys all love the Skit Guys? Does anybody ever watch the Skit Guys? So if you don't know who the Skit Guys are, go online, type up Skit Guys. Look, they have some hysterical, very, very hysterical skits that are Christian-based. And this is just one of their like mini films.
I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you always, even to the very end of the age. I am working all things for your good. I will withhold no good thing from you. I am your shield and your great reward. I am your light and your salvation. I am the stronghold of your life. I will give you eternal life. I will give you abundant life. I will give you peace. I will give you rest. I will give good gifts to those who ask me, and I will give strength to the weary, power to the weak. I am close to the brokenhearted, and I will comfort those who mourn. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I will hear you, forgive you, and heal you. I will be found by those who seek me. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will do whatever you ask in my name. I will listen to you. I will fight for you. I will set you free, and I will not change. I will redeem your life from the pit and crown you with love and compassion. I will finish the good work I have begun in you. I will never blot your name out of the book of life. I will come back and take you to be with me. I will deliver you, and you will honor me.
Those are promises that God has given humanity. Those scriptures tell us who God is. Those scriptures tell us that God has done and will do things for us, do things to protect us, to do things to guide us, that he walks with us. See, one of the things that we need to realize is that God has never left you alone. When we live in our own expectations and in our own world, we think of only our small box on our shoulders. The reality is God has been through everything that you have ever been through in your life. He has seen it. He has walked with you through it. He has cried with you. He has wept with you. He has been concerned for you. He has had hope for you. Expectations based on worldly things can bring us enormous stress and anxiety and fear and hurt and pain. Pam, I'm just going to ad lib this so you can just shut that down. We're going in a different direction. It happens. When we place our expectations that are false expectations on others, we destroy them. We hurt the ones we care about. We hurt ourselves. We hurt relationships. We cause pain. We cause agony to people. See, faith and hope is different. Faith being our strong foundation, hope being the confident expectations that God has for us, that he has given us in his word, that he has proven to us over and over and over and over again. How many of you have ever had a promise that God has given you fulfilled? Raise your hands. The rest of you just don't know it yet. I have watched God work out miracles after miracles. We just heard about a miracle, a woman that was dead for 40 minutes, and her daughter walked up to her and prayed, and she came back to life. The mother has, after CPR for almost 40 minutes, does not have any broken ribs. That's a miracle in itself. How many of us have ever wanted a job or we looked for a job and we may have been turned down for one, but God opened a door for another? How many of us have had financial miracles? I know Jerry and I have had financial miracles where things were tough early in our marriage financially, and God continually provided finances for us right at the last minute, right at the last second. We've watched a church have financial miracle after financial miracle. So I showed that video because maybe what we really truly need to do is take what we put our expectations in and redefine it. We need to put the Word of God in our hearts so that when we have a problem, we have a situation, we can put the expectation and align it up with what God has, which would be hope. Not worldly expectation, but hope for grandkids or kids, for youth, for our nation, for our presidents, for our government. See, we all want this revival to come, right? We all want revival. But what are you willing to do to assist? We can expect it all we want, but if we're not walking it out in the true faith and hope that God has for us, in prayer, in times where our lives are sacrificial to God and what God calls us to do, then we may not ever see it. I don't know. God will do what he wants to do. He's the boss. Whatever he wants to do, we will do. I just want to let you guys know that if you're living in some expectations that are killing you and killing your friends, and you know, there's help. We have Sid here on staff. If you're having problems mentally, because to be honest with you, false expectation can really stress us mentally and emotionally and cause a lot of harm inside of us. But when we turn those expectations into hope, into what God has called us, there can be peace in your heart. There really, truly can be peace. You can have peace if you want that. There can be healing from past hurts. There can be a wholeness that comes to your life because God is doing works and miracles in it. You can have freedom in your life. How many people want freedom? Freedom from fear. You know, I hate to say this. There's been a lot of fear over the last 2 years that we've all experienced. And it has not helped the way that things have been presented in our media and by our government. And fear has been something that's been on everybody's mind. Afraid of COVID, afraid of lockdowns, afraid of mandates, afraid of government overreach. Whatever the fear is, it has been manifested over these last 2 years. Fear in our own personal world, bubble, box, whatever you want to call it, it's there. And it's manifest. We've watched it not only with the youth, but we've watched it in our public. Mental health in our public setting is the worst that it's ever been in our nation. Understand that. And some of that's based on expectations. Some of it's based on the world that we live in. If you're living with anxiety based on expectations of everything around you, there can be healing there. And there can be wholeness in that area so that you're no longer anxious. Along with that goes with worry. And some of the hurts that you have. Anybody here ever been hurt in your life? Anybody here ever carry those hurts with them? What if we all had to wear a badge and labeled all the hurts we've ever experienced? some of us would have like a military chest, like a general of hurts and pains. It would be big. Faith and hope. Faith being our concrete base of life. Hope being the confident expectation of God's promises can change everything in your life. You have to make those steps forward. Pastor Ray.